Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Father. Man, so merciful. Grace and peace, everyone.
Grace and peace, brother.
Shalom.
Hey. Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace. Hallelujah, man. It's today is the first day of the week. And as we get into the Sunday morning breakfast, lunch, brunch, we deal with just about anything here. And today we're dealing with grace. Grace. What is grace? What is grace to us? Because, you know, a lot of us think grace replaced the law. No, it didn't, and that's not what it's about. We're not going to go in there and try to debunk all the doctrines in the world, because that's not what it's about. We're supposed to be teaching that it is grace from God and that we should be receiving grace from Him. You know, so many of us are so busy trying to debunk stuff, we're throwing a baby out with the bathwater. You know, and we're supposed to be more so trying to establish that He is full of grace and that He is that person. Okay? So with that being said, I want to say shalom, shalom to my lovely rib. Say shalom to Freya.
Shalom, King of Praise, and shalom, family. Grace and peace in Jesus' mighty name.
All praise.
Yes, what a beautiful day.
Oh, God.
It is gorgeous.
Man, I'm about ready to jump on my ride now. So let's open up with a script, and we're going to get into this lesson. Like my brother Isaiah said, it's going to be simple and sweet. You know what I mean? Like yesterday, we got into a whole lot of drama and a lot of meat, but today, it don't take all that to talk about grace and the mercy of God.
Amen.
You know, and that's all we're about. That's all we're supposed to be about, especially when it comes to one another. We don't understand what grace is. We don't understand what mercy is. We ain't going to see the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So you can cancel that. You can cancel the feast day. Just cancel all of them because you ain't going to see not a man one. Not in the kingdom. You're going to be in outer darkness wishing we had been better stewards with the word.
Amen.
Okay? So once again, since you got this scripture,
mm-hmm.
when you receive it, read. Oh, and one more thing, sisters, if you, if you can, cover your heads, and brothers, if you can, uncover your heads, and you can stand and face Jerusalem, that would be a beautiful thing as we approach the Bible.
Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land,
Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thy anger to all generations? Will not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints.
Amen.
But let them not turn again to folly. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I read Psalms 85, verses 1 through 8. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and stand for hope this spiritual gift. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, for delight and blessing us because they see your light and your kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children, their families. Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit. And give us a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and give them a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform. Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon them as well. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. For your mercies will go out.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's pick it up at verse 1. Proverbs 4 and 1.
Amen.
When you receive,
Proverbs 4 and 1.
Yeah, Proverbs 4 and 1.
Forgive me, everyone. I'm opening it. Proverbs 4 and verse 1 reads, forgive me, everyone. I have a little cold. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my word, keep my commandments, and live.
So this thing is from the father. You see, this is the father. You know, Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord, and he's speaking as, you know, like David, he spoke in the form of the son, which is amazing because the father is speaking through Solomon. You see, and you got the son of David speaking through the father, and you got David speaking, the son speaking through David. So when you hear these things in Proverbs, or in Ecclesiastes or Ecclesiasticus or the Wisdom of Solomon, things like that, you are hearing the father conversation, not Solomon. He's talking to us. That's why he always say, hear my son, hear the instructions of a father.
Amen.
Continue. Amen. What's the first thing you said? I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Continue.
Amen. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee.
So wisdom is a feminine entity in this conversation, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Knowledge is the principal thing.
Wisdom.
The abomination maketh desolate is the principal thing.
Wisdom.
So wisdom is the principal thing.
Amen.
That's the principal thing that we're supposed to be getting, wisdom. Continue.
Amen. Verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of great, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee.
So she's going to give you a what?
Crown of glory.
Ah, she's going to give you what? An ornament of grace and a crown of glory. All right, let's look that word up, grace. It's now. Okay. Grace. Uh-oh. Grace. Okay, this, I'm moving kind of slow here. Please forgive me. This is not working. Okay. What are you doing? Oh, never mind. I got it. Nope, that's not it. Grace. The disposition of being generous or helpful in goodwill, mercy, clemency. So grace bring what? Mercy and forgiveness. Clemency is forgiveness. You see, so when you look at mercy, it's saying that it's forgiving. So the Lord is talking about when you got wisdom and understanding, it'll bring you forgiveness before God. It'll bring you mercy before God. It said, a favor rendered by one who need not to do so, which is the Father. He forgive whomever he sees fit or whoever he will. And he said, blessed the man that, you know, that he do not impute sin. So it's up to him. And it said, watch this, a temporary immunity or exemption or repose. So this grace is only temporary as long as you're obedient to the word of God. But it can be eternal if we are obedient. But what if we out here willfully sinning against them? You just canceled your grace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's temporary as long as you stay in the way or to your best ability. But if you out here willfully sinning and breaking commandments, being out here presumptuously sinning, and committing sins on the death, as we covered yesterday, this thing won't last. It says the state of receiving such favor. It said an excellent or power granted by God. So along come with grace come what? Power. The power of God. It's not just something that that goes along with, you know, we just throw it with a Sunday Christian like it's something wrong with that. No, they're supposed to be teaching grace, and we're supposed to be teaching it as well. We're not supposed to be looking at it like it belongs to them or something wrong with it. The only time when they say, the only time it become wrong is when you're saying grace took over the law. No, grace supersedes the law because grace forgive the sins that the law imputes. That's the only thing it does. It didn't say the law was no more. It only forgives the sins that the law imputes. It says, watch this. It says, free and unmerited favor of God shown toward man. The divine assistance or power given to man. All right, well, what I'm going to do is, brothers and sisters, let me hang up and call back. All right, I'm going to do that right now. Hold up. Do not hang up. Okay, how are we doing? Can you hear me? Can I be heard? Is my microphone still breaking up? Okay. Well, you need to unmute somebody. So
I can hear you. Okay. You're good.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yes. Can I be heard? Is the microphone still breaking up or no?
No, you're good.
Okay, thank you, sis. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Amen. All right, let me start that over then. It said mercy, clemency, right? It says the divine, it says the free and unmerited favor of God shown toward man, right? And then it goes on, it says, the condition of being favored or sanctified by God. An unmerited, you know, you didn't deserve this. It said an unmerited gift or favor, etc., granted by God. You see, this is that thing. It said the divine assistance and power given to man in a spiritual rebirth and sanctification. So grace brings you to a rebirth. How are we teaching to that? How are we teaching against being born again? How is that thing even a conversation in our ministry? That grace is something that's supposed to be looked at as a sin. No, it's not supposed to be looked at. It's a blessing. It's a huge blessing to even have this conversation. It's not even a thing. We're supposed to be having conversations about what they're teaching. We're only supposed to be teaching what we're teaching and those things that stand before God, because he said this. Don't even speak about those things that they do. It says this. It says, favor or goodwill, a manifestation of favor by a superior. The only superior is the Father. And it goes on. Granted, it says, favor shown by granting or a delay or temporary immunity. It says, a freely given unmerited favor of the love of God. The influences and the spirit of God operating in human, a virtue or excellence of divine origin, the condition of being in God's favor or one of the elect. So it's nothing wrong with none of those things. These are all attributes we're supposed to be looking for. You see, this is that thing. That's what we're supposed to be looking for by God, from him, and that wise. So let's look at this a little further. Let's go and see your grace start in the New Testament, because we can't, you know, a lot of us say, well, you know, grace came with Jesus. No, it didn't. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 6 and 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah.
Noah found who?
Grace in the eyes of the Lord.
So Noah, the Father is showing us that Noah even received grace. Why? Because the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty, is about to get ready to destroy the whole planet. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but he said Noah found grace. Continue.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God.
That's how you receive grace. You know, and perfect don't mean you're going to be Jesus Christ Almighty. Perfect just means mature in your walk. Perfect means mature in your understanding. Perfect means mature in your skills in the Word of God. You see, but we're talking about the perfection of God that comes at the resurrection. But he's perfect in his generation. Look at his generation. Look at our generation. Our righteousness is supposed to supersede this generation. We're not supposed to be participating or acting other ways of this world. We're supposed to be above. We're supposed to be the example of the world before God. You see? So this is that thing. So that's how you receive grace. You see, by performing those things that belong to the Most High God. Let's look at someone that else received grace. Go to Genesis chapter 19 and 19. Genesis 19 and 19. Pick it up at 18.
Genesis 19 and 18?
Yes, ma'am.
Genesis chapter 19 and verse 18 reads, "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life."
See, so who found favor before God? Lot.
Amen.
Where was he at? In Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord seen Lot. That's what Peter testified of, that Lot was righteous and a just man, and he was in a wicked situation. And the Father had mercy on him, and he delivered him. He said, "Behold, if I found grace and I found mercy, you want to deliver me from the calamity that's coming in this world, that's coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah." Same thing with Noah. He want to deliver us from the hell and the calamity that's coming upon this world. This is what we're supposed to be looking for, not trying to find a reason to teach against the things that belong to grace, because grace belongs to us. So what they teach, they saying that the law, grace supersedes the law. No, look, if you teach grace, you're teaching the law, because righteousness comes through the law. But the power of sin is against the law. So as long as we're not sinning against God, you're going to receive grace or mercy. Or say that you may have a secret fault or a secret sin. Guess what? The Father's going to have mercy on that, because you are walking in the righteousness of the law the best way you can. Some would say, well, nobody can keep the law. You're only Jesus Christ did. Well, you're right. I can't dispute that. But long as we're doing the best that we can, and he's, like he said, don't appear before me empty. You better have some fruits. You better have fruit, which is the fruit of righteousness. You better have fruit before you appear before him. Okay? This is that thing. So, yeah, we're going to have fruit before God. And that is that mercy. Okay? Go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And pick it up at verse 9. 33 and 9.
Exodus chapter 33 and verse 9 reads, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses."
So the Father said he stood there. That lets me know that the God of Israel got what? Feet and legs, knees and thighs, right? This man is truly in the image of God. Continue.
Amen. Verse 10. "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face."
So wait a minute. So the God of Israel have a what? Okay, continue.
"And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaking unto his friend."
So the Father, the God of Israel, look at us as what?
Friends.
If we are obedient, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're friends, but then again, that's what he told us in the Testament. In the New Testament, he told the disciples. He said, ye are my friends as long as you abide in my Father. Which what? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that's how you abide in him. So that the love of him would abide with you forever. Right?
Amen.
Okay. Continue.
Amen. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle.
Who is Joshua? Yeshua. There go Moses, your Levite, right?
Amen.
And there go Joshua, which means Jesus, 21st century, being presented before God. You see? So you got the Levite presented Joshua before God. What do you mean? And then here it is. The Spirit is descending, right, in a cloud. John the Baptist, which is a Levite, brought Jesus before God in the baptism. And what happened? The Spirit descended upon Joshua. He did not leave out the tabernacle. He was right there with him.
Amen.
We got to, you know, our brothers and sisters want to have issues with everything because of what we've been told. You ain't supposed to learn Hebrew because Hebrew ain't it. Look, knock that off. To me, not learning, if you're telling somebody not to learn Hebrew, if they decide to learn it, I'm not saying it's a prerequisite to get into the kingdom, but if somebody want to learn it, learn Aramaic, learn Paleo, learn how to write it, they're supposed to be able to, and they're supposed to be encouraged to, because you don't know what you run into behind that. You see, but to sit up there and tell them they don't need to know it is like telling a Mexican you don't need to learn how to speak Spanish. That's foolish. You don't do that. Continue.
And verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou shalt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way.
See, that's the mercy of God. See, this is the thing, man, when the Most High baptized you, wash you in his word, he said, now show me your way. Since you came, you brought me this far, show me how to continue. Show me how to walk. Show me how to live. Show me how to act. Show me how to think. Show me how to conduct myself. Show me how to behave. Continue.
Amen. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest.
See that?
Amen.
See, so this is what happened when he gave you that mercy, that spirit of descend upon you. Because Moses was baptized in the water too when he walked through that. Don't count that strange. He went through it too. So now here comes the Holy Spirit descending. And then he said, now my presence will go with you. Okay? This is that thing.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Keep going.
Amen. Start at 15. Exodus 33 and 15. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?
Wait a minute. So it ain't just about you receiving mercy, but it's about the people of God receiving mercy. And who is that? That's whoever so he called. You know, we see here is the people of God. That would be the children of Israel. But also remember this, it is a what? Mixed multitude.
Right.
So we have a mixed multitude going on here that the Lord is showing us. You see?
Amen.
So that's that thing. Continue.
Amen. Is it not in that thou goest with us? so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people.
If you
that
don't
are
have any mercy, if the Lord hasn't showed you grace, you are separated from him. He hasn't forgiven your sins. You are not in the presence of God. That's that thing. We got to be so, you don't ever want to be sinning against him that he would separate himself from you. This is that thing. Continue.
Amen. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight.
He said, for you found what?
Grace.
Mercy.
In my sight.
Forgiveness. Clemency. Forgiveness. And he told him, he said, not only did you find mercy, but forgiveness of what your sin. All the things you did in Egypt, I let all that go. All the things that you did up to this conversation, I let all that go. Continue.
For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
What glory? The glory that he had before the earth was created. The one when he sat there on the right hand of the Lord, the Father, and him and the Father was doing their thing, creating all things. That's the glory Moses asked to see, not the glory that we're looking at, you know. He, the pureness and the fire of God, his complete totality. Read on.
Amen. Verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And
wait a minute, they're going to preach. They're going to Melchizedek. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Most High. He is not talking about himself. He's talking about the Father that sent him. Remember now, the Father, no man has ever seen his shape or heard his voice at any time. So he's talking about proclaiming the Father.
Amen.
This is the Jesus that came in the flesh. This is him. Read on.
Exodus 33:19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
So it ain't about who you decide he should show mercy to, because the child was, you know, born, and then he was afflicted, and the Lord took it off the earth, or this particular child was born this or that way. Or, you know, this happened to this individual, and it didn't happen to that individual, but this individual was a decent person, and that individual is still on top of the earth. It's not for you to decide that. He said, I show mercy on whoever I feel like. You just better make sure you are in his mercy. That's all we got. Continue.
Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen.
So the mercy of God will allow you to see God. You will see him. You may not see him as Moses see him here, but he'll reveal himself to you. Like Paul said, in bits and pieces. You know, as a place in a dark place. Some place sometimes is just that. You see? But here's another thing. See, Moses was praying not only for himself, but who? For the people. So you gotta have it in you to pray for the people. You got to have it in you, and not just pray for your friends and family, but you got to pray for the people of God that's really trying to be about his business, you know, and really be about his thing, even though every one of us don't agree. If I don't agree with you, so what? If I don't agree with this, so that's between me and God.
Amen.
It is not one person in this world that's going to totally agree with everything that you say and do. You don't even agree with everything that your physical mother and father tell you.
Amen.
And that's to this day. Now, I'm going to be a fool to think that you, if you don't believe or agree with everything I'm saying now, I'm not a servant. That's not the scriptures, and that's not reasoning, and that's not wisdom. But the real reason, wisdom of God, is that the mercy of God and the grace of God, the Spirit of God that he gave us is supposed to manifest itself upon others. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1 reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Look, let's look up the word charity. Look that up. What is charity?
Charity. Charity, aid, welfare, relief, gift, presents, grants, donations, contributions, endowment, almsgiving, benefactions, patronage.
See, that's what
humanity.
That's what people think charity is, that you give somebody something.
Self-sacrifice. Self-denial.
I don't see that part of charity being demonstrated.
Selflessness.
Where's that at? You know, suffering losses. You know, okay, all right, so what? All right, that what you think? That's what you think. Sometimes, you know, you got to suffer losses for righteousness' sake. You know, you can't pick and win every fight that you put out there or that's out there. You know, you got to pick and choose your fights. Which one? The one that'll get you in the kingdom, not the one that's presented to you. Sometimes you just let the enemy have his, just go ahead on. All right, that's all good. That ain't getting me across the street.
And the last thing it says, charity in thought, the highest form of love.
The what?
The highest form of love.
It's the highest form of love. What else?
Signifying the reciprocal love between God and man that is made manifest in unselfish love of one's fellow man, as described in 1 Corinthians 13.
See, that's the real charity that he's speaking of, the highest form of love between God and man. What is the highest form of love between God and man? Mercy, clemency. This is that thing. That's the highest form of love that any man could receive. You see? So this is that thing. Let's see. Let's get back into the script. We're going to pick this up at verse 1. I just want to read this to myself. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So you can have the gifts of the Spirit and still not have the Spirit. What? You can have these gifts. You can have the knowledge of God and not the love of God in you. You can have all of that and don't have the love of God. So therefore, you just talking loud and saying nothing. You became, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I became as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So all we're doing, if you don't have the love of God, you just talking loud and saying nothing. All to it. That's the end of your story. You see, so you gotta have charity. That is the love of God for mankind. Not what you think. Not for your address. Read on.
1 Corinthians 13 and 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing.
See, that's scary. This is a horrifying thing. I know people that know deep mysteries, man, and do not understand the love of God and don't have a problem with not acting it out. I mean, in a New York heartbeat, they'll sit up there and they'll let you know out the gate. They don't have the love of God in them, you know, and don't have the love of God for the brotherhood. You know what I mean? That's frightening. But then turn around, they'll show you the mysteries of God, the prophecies of God, the knowledge of God. but don't have the love of God, and you can hear it in a conversation. That's the thing that I try to demonstrate or try to, you know, allude to my brothers and sisters when you picking up a mate. If you listen long enough, you know whether or not that person is suitable for you. Because that person is going to demonstrate some things. Same thing is if you got a minister, a pastor, or a brother that has certain gifts of God, but they don't have this spirit of charity, that is to say the love of God for all mankind, but got malice for this particular group or that particular group, you got issues. You're talking loud and saying nothing. Mm-hmm. Even though you know the mysteries, you're talking loud and saying nothing. Because the end game is that you're supposed to love all the brotherhood. Continue.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3 reads, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing."
So charity isn't talking about giving to the poor.
Right.
That's the general knowledge of, as we just got through reading. That's what we call, that's, you can give people, you can feed the poor and be rude while you're doing it.
What?
You can feed the poor and talk to them crazy while you're doing it and judging them at the same time. You see, so that's not the thing. All you're doing is self-gratifying yourself. And you know it's from God when you're doing it, and you know it's not from God when you're doing it for other people. Hey, look at me. I'm doing this over here. That's not from God. And if you really love the Lord, you don't come with no malice with that. It's all about being about the Father's business. That is to say, you got to have the love of God across the board. Continue.
Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Charity don't do what? See, the first thing charity ain't going to allow you to do is boast in what you know and what somebody else don't. That's the first clue that somebody is not filled with charity or mercy. You see, this is that thing. It says, charity suffers long. It says, and is kind. So what if you're not kind? You know, you got the mysteries of God, but you're not kind with it. You know, you don't have no mercy. You just rude, you see. Envieth not, nor vaunteth itself, not puffed up. So you can't be thinking of yourself like you something and they're nothing. We can't consider ourselves above anybody else. Excuse me, am I going to get nobody? Okay. Have not charity, it profit me nothing. You see? So this is that thing. So if I'm lifting myself up just because I know something, then that's not giving, that's not the point, that's not the truth of God. Thank you. It looked delicious. Thanks for sharing.
Charity.
Thanks for your
charity.
Thank you for charity.
Charity.
Uh-huh. Oh, that is good. So, it says, and it says, it's not funny itself, nor is puffed up. Some of us, because of what the God of Israel revealed to us, we start getting lifted up. What you're saying is not the mercy and the charity of God. If they feel like that, then they're looking at you like that, and don't expect any love or charity, because deep down inside, it's not there. It's not there. So don't look for it. It's going to reveal itself to you sooner than later, or later than sooner. But it's coming. The day that you're really looking for it is the day that you're going to find out that that spirit don't exist. And so many of us find out about that later than sooner. But then, all you know, what we find out is that we've been trusting in a man versus the word. Oh, Jesus, help us. Keep reading.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 and 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things.
I want to deal with this part that says, behave itself not unseemly, thinketh not of our own. And that's another thing. We always glorifying ourselves or wherever we doing or something like that. And then it says this, and think no evil. Okay.
Thinketh no evil.
You know, it's supposed to be in a mercy state. It's supposed to be in a clemency state.
That's right.
Supposed to be. Continue.
1 Corinthians 13 and 5, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
See, it don't rejoice in iniquity of others.
Right.
It don't point out the sins of others. What it do is, it rejoices in the truth of God. Because the truth of God is that there's no man that doeth good and sin of not. So who am I to sit up and say, well, this brother is this and that sister is that? The truth of God is what should prevail at any conversation. That's really what it's about. Continue.
Amen. Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Wow. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
So if we're sitting up here talking about we got all the truth, then we just call Paul and the Holy Ghost a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We just lie on the whole word of God by saying that we got the truth. And you got so many camps out here that's proclaiming that is almost sickening. But we got to understand that it's just the nature of man. We got this camp over here saying this under this address. You got this camp over here saying that under this address. And all of them is assaulting each other. One is a Power Ranger. One is this. One is that. So we can't be doing that. We're supposed to be showing each other mercy. If all we're doing is high-fiving each other, we ain't doing nothing. Read on.
Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then
so that... when that is perfect, when the Holy Ghost comes, go ahead.
But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child.
See, when I was a child, I thought as a child, man, I thought I was the right hand of God that I could go about and just slam anybody and everyone. And I was a lie. That was a lie before God when I realized I was really not serving God. I was actually offending God because I didn't show anybody grace or mercy. That was the problem. Continue.
Amen. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
There it is. I only know in part. What the Lord gave me, I stay in my lane. I can't sit up here and talk about the Bible code, not like my brother.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Even though he allowed me to see it, and I can agree with it because it testifies of the things that I know. So I'm in agreement. However, it's not for me to demonstrate because I haven't matured there yet. Even though I have demonstrated it, the Lord showed me that I do have understanding because the Lord allowed me to show a brother the Bible code that didn't even know
how to keep the Sabbath day. And he got it. He saw it. He's like, man, this is wonderful. Then he knew that he was dealing in the Spirit of God. And he said immediately, I got to get me a Bible. And he ordered it. Continue.
Amen. And the last verse, 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is...
The greatest of what it is?
Charity.
Knowledge.
Charity.
Wisdom. Prophecy. None of that is it, because he said, oh, that's going to vanish away. Eventually, because once prophecy is fulfilled, it's gone, right? So when all knowledge comes, then the knowledge that you have is going to be superseded by the knowledge that you got. So that's going to disappear. Because then you're going to understand the things that God has added to the point what you have. So that's even mute.
Amen.
So we can't even continue in that nonsense. You see, so we got to be careful, man, when it comes to this thing called grace. What we do is that we ourselves, we find ourselves becoming arrogant,
yes, sir.
Rude, prideful, judgmental. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that camp don't keep this, so I feel like this. Or this camp do this, I don't feel like that. You know, we can't do that, because that ain't God. That shows that you don't have the love of God. In fact, Jesus went back to his camp. He went back to the place that he was born and raised at, and upbraided it, and then left, and said, and then took the Spirit with him, because he said they didn't believe. How much of that is going on? Most of us that the Lord has sanctified already know that we can't go back to where we come from, because they're going to be full of unbelief anyway. Anyway.
Right.
Once the Father puts you out there in the wilderness and your faith becomes the work and the walk, guess what? Your faith is in him, and he starts talking to you face to face. This is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Acts 14. Let's pick it up at verse 1.
Amen. Acts 14.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 14 and verse 1 reads, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed.
See, where did they go? Back to the brethren.
Okay.
Right? Read on.
Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Mm-hmm. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles.
See that? So, going and talking to Israel ain't going to do anything. What is that going to do? Because they're going to show up division anyway. That's their job. Unfortunately, that's the spirit that's been given them. Because you don't have the spirit of grace or mercy, and the God of Israel is telling us that constantly. When he's talking about that elect of God had a mercy of God.
Right.
The elect of God is coming with the charity of God.
Right.
The elect of God is not just talking about prophecies and this, that, and the other. They're actually talking about the real love of God.
Right.
But the Jews will stir up strife and debate among the people that believe. Why? He said a great multitude of both Jews and also the Greeks would believe. So they went up there as the devil and sowed discord among the brethren. And the Lord God of Israel told you by the mouth of Solomon that He that soweth discord among the brethren, he talks about how they an abomination. They got seven unclean spirits. Unclean. But here it is. He said, for a long time, therefore, we are bold there speaking boldly in the Lord and testimonies in the word of his grace and his mercy. We showing them grace and mercy, and they rewarding us evil and for good. You see that? Read on.
Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them.
What? It came to the point that they wanted to what? Kill them? They got physical, they got that much hatred in them, but they know the word. They know the word. They understand prophecy. They understand knowledge. They know the Sabbath day is the Sabbath day. They know that paganism is, you know, Christmas is pagan and Easter is pagan, but there's no charity. There's no love. Because if you can, the Lord said, he said this by the mouth of Peter. If you know John, he said, he that say, I know God and will kill his brother is a liar and the truth is not in him. That man is a liar. He is of the devil. Even James said it. He said it again. He said, the devils believe, but they tremble. Where your fear? Why you ain't trembling? Read on.
Verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and into the region that lieth round about.
Okay, so they had to get up out of there because they were going to kill them, man. Because they were showing them the word of God. You see, and this is that thing, and some people just ain't going to get it. It's not meant for them to receive. You see?
Say that again.
Some people ain't going to get it.
Uh-huh.
It's not meant for them to receive.
Say that one.
Some people are not going to receive it. Because it is not meant for them to receive.
Amen. Okay.
Right. So this is that thing. So now we got to be really, really careful with that. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 15, Romans 5 and 15. Yes, ma'am. Pick it up at Romans 5 and verse 15.
And then Romans 5 and verse 15.
Nah, I like to pick it up at 12 because this just allowed me to point out something. It's still right there. So let's pick it up at 12.
Amen. Romans 5 and verse 12 reads, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
See that? Continue.
14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Death what?
Death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Is Enoch in between Adam and Moses?
I think so.
Well, so if death don't reign from Adam to Moses because Enoch is alive, then how is that? How is that? So, either this scripture is broken or our understanding isn't where it's supposed to be. I'm not testifying against the apostles. Read on.
Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression.
That's why you got to be careful with that book of Enoch, because it's saying that Enoch is still on the planet. If that book of Enoch is saying that Adam is on the planet, Enoch is still walking on the planet, it just testified against the apostles. Now, mind you, the book of Enoch is not a part of the apocalypse. All right? So knock that off. That's one of them lost books. And I can't justify a lost book. I'm not saying don't study them or read them. You should. But because the Lord, our God, said you can snakes or the venom of serpents won't bother you. That's that stuff. That's where it comes from. It won't affect you, but the Apocrypha is actually sanctioned by King James. You see, so he had X amount of scholars to translate the Old Testament. He had X amount of scholars to translate the New Testament, and he had a scholar to translate the Apocrypha. All three was in the original King James Bible. Then the Catholic Church decided that it should not be in the King James Bible and took it out. But it's still in their Bible. The Catholic Bible still got the Apocrypha. So what did that just tell? So who you really listening to? The Pope. No. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's the truth. And sometimes the truth is what it is. I ain't following the Pope. I'm going to follow the truth.
Amen.
Read on.
The bottom of 14 of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many.
So the grace that God has given through Jesus Christ has given us mercy. Through Jesus Christ. That's the care, clemency on all of our sins, brothers and sisters. That's what that really means. That he had mercy on our sins. That he's forgiven our sins through Jesus Christ. So I can't teach against grace because grace is much more than what they think. And it's much more than what we've been teaching. It's bigger than that. Stop with that. You wasting your time dealing. The word of God told you don't deal with stony ground anyway. If you're dealing with that, you're dealing in stony ground. Ain't no fruit there. Ain't no good ground there. Ain't none of that there for you to grow any fruit there. But what is fruitful is that we can tell everybody that the mercy of God is by the death of Jesus Christ, that our sins should be forgiven, and that we should find clemency. And remember, it's only temporary, because if you willfully sin against God, you lose your immunity. You lose your clemency. Continue.
Amen. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses.
See, that's what we just got to read in the definition of grace. It didn't, you didn't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing you could do. That was from, he said, from an authority or a higher power, which would be the Father. That's why he said, that's why Jesus told Moses, he said, I will declare the name of the Lord, that he will have mercy or grace upon whom he will. Read on.
17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
Continue.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Why? Because, hold your finger here. Let's go and look at that. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're coming back to this so we can have a clear understanding of it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and pick it up at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and pick it up at verse 55.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55?
Uh-huh.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55 reads, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
See, The strength is without the law, there is no sin. But if you sin against the law, there go the strength of sin. But grace didn't do away with the law. What it did was if it gave the strength of sin, which the mercy covered the power of it, and even death. Because Adam brought death into the world, so the mercy of God delivered us from the strength of sin and the power of death. Are we listening? That's what grace is. And we're teaching against it like it's a joke. It's like it's going to be laughed. It's not. When I was a child, I used to laugh at it. When I was a child, I thought it was a joke. I'm no child anymore. I understand that. Their mercy, I need mercy more than anything. I need grace more than anything. I need charity more than anything. Without charity, without grace, I have nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 5.
Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did not much more abound. 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
See, that grace ruled through righteousness, which is what? The commandment. That is to say, if you walk in the grace of God, he gave you grace and forgave you all your sins, then now it's up to us to continue in that grace by keeping the commandments of God.
Amen.
Romans 6 and 1.
Amen. Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
See, we can't keep committing sin and thinking that we're going to keep getting mercy. It don't work like that. Read on.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
So what you doing sinning? Why are you sinning? That's the first problem. It ain't about whether or not, if this person over here is that, why you sin? Why you looking for mercy? Because we want to pray over people that we know and think that they should. You don't know what people are doing in the dark. That just because you see them here and there and you think they're serving God don't mean nothing.
Amen.
You know, you got some of us, man, that haven't been to class in years is probably better serving than anybody you can imagine. You see them every day. I'm a witness. I'm sitting up here. I'm listening to people, man. They were telling me things. I was like, oh, my God, I've been lying to people concerning you. I didn't even know. Why you lie to me all these years, even to this day? But I'm glad it got out. Now I know. Now I don't continue to perpetuate that lie. But all these years, I thought it was one way, and it wasn't.
Amen.
Continue.
Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into Jesus Christ?
See, that's where grace came in. When we were baptized, our sins were forgiven, and we can't continue therein because grace ain't gonna always cover sin.
Amen.
Mercy ain't gonna always be there. He's sitting on the grace seat.
Amen.
We call it the mercy seat, but it's the grace seat. Read on.
Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
See, now, Christ came up out that water. What happened? That cloud descended upon him, just like that cloud descended in the tabernacle. And just like it descended on the cloud, then he started walking in that light. A lot of us never received the Holy Ghost because we never believed that he even exists like that, that you're supposed to receive it like that. Some of us think that's some kind of hope. It's not. We think that, you know, the Holy Ghost of God is a host that you're not supposed to feel his presence. It's the law. That's that thing. We got it so wrong. I'm like this. How can a law be the Holy Ghost and he's telling me that if you keep my commandments, I'm going to spend the gift of the Holy Ghost or the truth? How is that? Continue.
I will read Romans 6 and 4 again. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism.
No. We're way past that. We had 15.
Romans 6 and 15?
Yes, ma'am.
Why do I have 4 highlights?
Because you was posting it.
Oh, okay. Go to Romans
6 and 15. Oh. Pick it up at 14.
Okay. Romans 6 and 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
See that? That's what mercy do. It covers the sins, our past sins, and those things that we were baptized on. Continue.
Amen. Verse 17.
Now, the sins are ignorance in what we don't know that we're still doing. But the sins that we do know and that we are performing, those things become presumptuous and willful, which is dangerous to our being because there's no sacrifice. Continue.
17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness.
See, you better appear before him with fruit. You better have some fruit. You see that? There we go. Continue.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans 12. We're going to wrap it up.
Amen. Romans 12.
Yes, ma'am. And one.
Amen. Romans 12 and 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, or the grace of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifice.
Present your body.
Your body.
Living
that means that you are giving burnt offerings 24/7. Come on, read.
Amen. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Continue.
For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
See that? Now, everybody don't have the same understanding. Not everybody. That's why we say we see in part, and we know in part. That is to say, we see the word of God in part, and we know him in part. You know? So, as a child, I didn't understand that because I thought I knew everything. But when I became a man, this came out, and the understanding of God showed me that I got a measure. Mm. And my measure is what it is. That's what I got. Continue. So my take is that I stay in my measure. I can't teach something that don't belong to me. Like, for instance, the Bible code. I can only teach what I can get out of that. But I can't teach now. I can't parakeet what that brother said because somebody asked me to pull my chain on it and I can't bring it, then I look like a false prophet or a deceiver. Same thing with anything else. If somebody teaches, if I'm teaching something that somebody parakeeted, they can't bring it, then they're going to be a deceiver because it wasn't your measure. Your measure is where you at. People want to act like they're above their measure and they're not. They only parakeeting. Stop with that. Continue.
Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith.
But don't forget charity. Continue.
Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching.
See that? But don't forget charity. Continue.
Or he that exhorteth exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
See, here comes charity. He said, let love, he said, or he that is exhorted in exhortation giveth, let him do with the simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence and showeth mercy or grace with what? Cheerfulness. Not with malice and hate and dissimulation. You're separating people. You think because everybody, you think that everybody in your door agree with everything you're doing. They don't.
No.
You got a lot of us that really think past where you are. I'm not assuming anybody that think that agree with me or that study with me agree or think or feel like they should agree with everything that I agree with. Now, I ain't talking about you. You don't get away with it.
I'm not talking about me.
Okay, then. But that's that. You see, that's that thing when I start saying to you, how long have I been with you and you still don't know? And I tell you stuff first.
Mm-hmm. That's where you show mercy, especially for your brethren. If they don't know, it wasn't given to them. Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But then they should know.
But they don't. So you just said it earlier, so let it go. Let go and let God. Amen.
Read on. See?
Verse 10.
See?
Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love.
See?
In honor, preferring one another.
See, I ain't gonna do that. I ain't gonna do
not
that.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate.
So the thing is, it's not about all the knowledge that we know. But he said, look, even though the Lord give you them things, don't think of yourself as anything more than that.
Amen.
But you're supposed to be able to condescend of like somebody who don't, they ain't even supposed to know you even know the thing.
Right.
You know, you deal with every man according to where they are. Like,
right.
You know, before I even came into this truth, the father was dealing with me and he had me, you know, I used to talk to guys that was on the street, that was living on the street, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't. You know, I used to talk to them, and they had wisdom in themselves. Everybody was that live on the street is not uneducated.
Or poor.
Or poor. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. You know, there aren't a lot of people that live on the street
are not uneducated. Some of them had degrees, masters, and they carry them around in a little shopping cart. They are masters. You understand? They've got doctrines in certain sciences in the world. And don't even have to be theologians, but sciences in the world, what do you mean? They may have doctrines in psychology or architecture or just science. But they're out here pushing a shopping cart. And you ask them, how did they get to this point? And all of them got a different story, but that don't mean that they ain't intelligent people.
Amen.
You don't find out these things unless you talk to them. Now, I'm not saying now that you heard me talk to them like that, you go and run up to somebody like that, because some of these people ain't exactly, you know, some of them have been out there, and some of them are dangerous. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, some of them are mentally ill. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't do that. That was just mercy. That was just God showing me that you don't judge people by the skin that you see them in. Mm-hmm. Read on.
Amen. Romans 12 and 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
They go to grace. They go to charity.
That's right.
If possible.
If it be possible.
If it be
possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men.
But if a man is making it impossible for you to dwell with him peaceably, then you what? There it is. That's why that person don't sin against you.
Right.
You don't give them place to sin against you. You don't have to, you know, tell everybody. You ain't got to, you know, just let that person know this is that. We out. Now, the only reason why you're doing it is because you're not giving that person an opportunity to stand against you anymore.
Amen.
And you're actually saving that person's life. That's all to it. Continue.
Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if I
you know how often that stuff runs through my brain, that vengeance is mine. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, your brother is just, you know, no, I think about getting real, because I can. I know I can. I've been there. I've done things. But I got to give it to God.
That's right.
I got to give it to him. Go ahead.
Verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
There it
That's
is.
Right.
Overcome evil with mercy. Overcome evil with grace. Overcome evil with charity. So with all that being said, brothers and sisters, we've seen that, you know, grace is about mercy, man, and forgiveness of your sin, not testifying against somebody else's. It's forgiveness of yours. It's easy to sit up there and say what somebody else think and do, but you better be ready to talk. You better be asking the Lord to have mercy on you. You better hope that he has his name in his mouth saying that I know you by name.
Amen.
That's what we better be doing. Continue. I mean, that's that. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We'll be edified.
Hold on.
We're going to, you got any questions or comments, feel free.
No. If my board will let me. Oh, board. What are you doing?
Your board is bored.
No, my board.
You sure?
Yes, hold on. Okay, here we go. Now it should open up. And
Amen.
Amen. Awesome blessing, my brother.
All praise.
Amen.
All praise. Praise God. Any questions or comments? Feel free. All the lines are open.
Well, you don't have to force anybody to say anything.
I do have something to say, Brother Joe, but it's about your lesson from yesterday. Remember
okay.
when you were saying that when the father was going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, that he said if he found 50 there, if he found 45 there, that's the Bible code. And you know what? It equals up to 195, which equals to 15, which equals to 6. Earth.
Flesh. Flesh. Earth.
Man.
Wow. No kidding. Go on, girl. Go on with that Bible code.
I've got very good apostle teachers, and I pay attention.
Amen. Amen.
And I pay attention.
Amen.
All praise.
Well, Sister Mary, we pay attention too, honey. We pay attention. We pay attention.
I know.
We pay attention so much that we just want to say happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday, Sister Mary.
What?
Happy birthday to you.
What?
How old are you?
Do tell.
How old are you?
You better tell.
How old are you?
I'm 71 years old.
Oh, my goodness. I pray to God I make it to 71.
Oh,
I pray to God. I'm in the state of health that you
are. I know. She don't take no medication. She don't even drink. She don't smoke like that. None of that. She's in great health. She's still driving. She's still working.
No medication.
No, she's just doing the thing.
Look.
No cane.
No cane.
You know, like, oh, my back, my crack.
None of that good stuff. You don't never hear her complaining.
And she's always on time.
Look at here. Got all her teeth.
Got all her teeth.
The super cheese. Got all her hair.
All the glory go to the Father. All the glory go to the Father.
Oh, my goodness.
It is not my doing. It's all of his doing.
Amen. Oh my God.
Happy birthday. God bless you.
Thank you, dear.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
And if I had a presence of a brand new 71, you would be here. I'm telling you, because you got all the attributes. I don't want to be on a medication. I want to still be looking young and vibrant. I want to be able to get around and feed myself and all that good stuff. I don't want nobody.
Well, just love the Father, and you will.
Praise be to Lord.
Love the Father. Keep on loving him.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Whatever, just keep on loving him.
Well, happy birthday.
Yes, ma'am. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. Amen.
Now you got me blushing.
Ooh, that's a beautiful thing. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to say all praises to the Most High God. Thank you for the word that you have given us today. Thank you for allowing Sister Mary to share her presence with us and her wonderful, wonderful time, years of experience, and understanding of the Bible code that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because they were in the flesh,
Amen.
Which is the sixth day. Flesh was created. That's a beautiful thing. Wow. Wow. When you see numbers like that, we're supposed to stop and take pause in it and add it up. We really ought to, because God Israel is really trying to show us something. And sure enough, that's exactly what he was showing us there. Sodom and Gomorrah was in the flesh, and they will not see the Sabbath day.
Amen.
That's that too. Wow, they're not coming up in the first resurrection. That's a big step. Amen. All praise. So since there's no hands up, anything to that effect, we want to thank everybody for their time. Oh, yeah, and Tuesday, yeah, don't forget Tuesday night here. You're going to be here with the Red Back and Green Room with your brother Asa, Israel.
And it was his birthday.
Yeah, and it was his birthday yesterday. He was out doing his thing. that is say, Amon, several of mine. He was doing his thing yesterday. So, all praise the Father allowing us to see another year, another day, and continue on in his mercy, and it's great. So with that being said, Godspeed, Sister Mary and my brother Pharaoh and everybody that's listening, that the Father put on your heart, tune in. God bless you. And let's just hope and pray that Father bless us, that we be able to see good with our sister, and that they be kind to us, like our sister Mary. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to thank everybody for their time. And I'm saying it because she's a witness that the God of Israel is really merciful. Trust me. If you've seen this woman, you know he's merciful. I'm telling you. All right? So I'm a witness. I'm telling you, if I say she's my brand new 71, you better know it. Shoot, I'm trying to get into the kingdom, but as long as I'm in this flesh, I'll cool. With that being said, I just want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify. And as we stay here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, people.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.